It is God's desire that as surely as the dawn breaks forth daily, so will the revelation of His goodness be evident daily in every area of your life. Welcome to Dawn Extras with Tim Grage.
Good morning and welcome to Dawn. Welcome to Dawn. I'm excited this morning, particularly because we are just a few days to our conference. Just a few days. If I'm not mistaken, we're less than 2 weeks to the Much More conference. And I don't know if you understand what's about to happen. The Lord has desired that you experience much more. I don't know what area you could do with much more, but it is His desire. And He has made provision for you to experience much more. The conference starts on the 20th, Thursday, the 20th, all the way through to the 23rd of this month of November. It's going to be a blast. Brace yourself. An encounter with God is waiting for you. You need to make an arrangement so that it's not one of those cases where you have, you attend one day, you miss another day. Why don't you make a plan to ensure that it's like a time of consecration? It's like a time of devotion. You have committed a great time of expectation where you have committed that for the next 4 days, those 4 days, you are going to show up. You are going, maybe you even want to, if you are not fasting with us, maybe you even want to fast during that period or even extend your fast just to ensure that that season does not come and go and nothing changes in your space. And that brings me to actually what I want to talk to us about today. The whole concept of confusing intimacy with proximity. Do you know many people think proximity is the same thing as intimacy? When you look at how Jesus walked with His disciples, right? Everybody knew, this was the big deal, everybody knew who was the closest to Jesus. And it's interesting because the two individuals were close to Jesus for different reasons. So Peter was close to Jesus, you know, because he was going to hand over to Peter. And so there was a need for Peter to have an understanding of his functions and of the duties that will lie before him. But it was also another level of intimacy. And everybody knew that John, the one that was called John the Beloved, had a different kind of intimacy with Jesus. The kind of intimacy where what Jesus committed to John, very different from what He committed to Peter. What He committed to John was his biological mother that was on the earth, handed that over to John. Understand that you could have proximity and yet not intimacy. There are certain things that intimacy does that helps you know that your relationship has gone beyond just the fact that both of you regularly spend time together. Let me say a few things I've written here. At salvation, God eliminated the distance between divinity and humanity. Through Christ, we were joined to the Lord. I've taken time to show you scriptures, primarily in Ephesians 1, the Passion Translation, about our union with God. So through Christ, we were joined to the Lord. We are one spirit within, 1 Corinthians 6. That's proximity, the ultimate closeness. We cannot be any closer in proximity to God. We are one with Him. We are joined to Him. We are united with Him. The Bible says in Ephesians 1, we are wrapped up in Him. We are one with Him. But proximity does not automatically create intimacy. Intimacy must be pursued. Intimacy must be nurtured. Intimacy must be sustained. Think about Adam in the garden. He walked with God in the cool of the day. That was intimacy. But when sin entered, Adam still heard the voice of God. The proximity remained. Did you notice? Adam had sinned. He no longer had the nature of God, but Adam still heard the voice of God. So let me say this to you. The fact that you have sinned does not mean God stopped speaking to you. Adam was the one who originated sin. As soon as he had done that, God came and was speaking to him. So sin is not the reason why you are not hearing the voice of God. It's not, but that's another story. So even after Adam sinned, he still heard God's voice. The proximity remained, yet fear and shame disrupted their intimacy. You can be in the same room as someone and not be connected to their heart. Proximity places you near God's presence. Intimacy lets you participate in its pulse. Listen, have you ever had people that were in your space? They were in your space, you spent time together, maybe you were in the same classroom, maybe you were in the same boardroom, maybe you work in the same office, and so you regularly spend time together, workspace environment, maybe school environment, whatever it is. And then one day, the person reaches out to you and says, can I have X from you? I don't know what that X might be, but can I have X from you? And you, maybe you don't say it, maybe you do. Some of you can be like that. But maybe you don't say it, but you are thinking, what in our relationship makes you think that you can ask me for something like this? And in your mind, you are thinking, is it because we hang out together, you think you can ask for something like this? Has anybody experienced that before? Now, another person that also hangs out with you, maybe even in that same similar environment, could make the same request, and you will say, okay, let me see what I can do. Let me make a plan. Why? Because even though both of those individuals might have proximity to you, they do not have the same level of intimacy. And that's what intimacy does. Intimacy gives you a level of confidence. A level of confidence. Ridiculous confidence with the person that you are dealing with. And that's why in 1 John, the Bible talks about koinonia, or talks about fellowshipping with God. Do you know? Right? You could have a relationship with God that is purely based on transaction. So when I say transaction, I don't even mean you give God and God gives you. I actually mean transaction based on his word, where you look and you say, okay, God, this is what your word says. So I place a demand on it. I release my faith concerning what your word says. I will have what your word says. You could do that. But even when the results come, because you could do that and have the results, you could look at Mark 11, 23 and say, what things soever I desire when I pray, I believe, I receive, and so I have them. You could look at Hebrews 1, 3 and say, he upholds all things by the word of his power, and so you connect your faith. And you could use God's word as an instrument to get what you desire. It's possible. But even you will know that there is no depth in your relationship. You can be getting, see, you could live in a house, married to someone, I'm getting ahead of myself now, married to someone, and all the trappings of your marriage contract might be there. Trappings in the sense that you live in the same house. Trappings in the sense that both of you provide what you are supposed to provide, and you meet the checklist, but you can still tell when there is a distance. See, when there is intimacy, right? When something sensitive appears on the table, when there is intimacy, you know you can still go to that individual and have a difficult conversation or an uncomfortable conversation or a very personal conversation. And you know that because of your intimacy, in as much as this is a sensitive moment, because of your intimacy, it can still be addressed. The door is still open for that connection to occur. There are many believers. The reason why there is such a struggle to walk in power is because the confidence that comes as a result of intimacy is not there. Do you know how many believers only spend time with God because of what they need from God? And see, God will still meet your need, But when the day comes, when you are uncertain about a scenario, a circumstance, a situation, and you need to have a conversation with God for clarity, you need to have a conversation with God, because not everything that shows up in our space is black and white. You know that, right? Not everything that shows up in your space, can you just say, what does the word say? Let me find it. Now I know what the word says about this, and I'm just going. Some things are nuanced. Some things are so specialized. I don't know how else to describe it. Specialized moments that if there was relationship, if there was intimacy with God, you are able to go to him and say, okay, concerning this one, I know I have this scripture about this, but I also have this scripture about this. What is your heart in the matter? Do you know how many believers have used their faith to get themselves into trouble? Do you know you can believe and receive what is not part of your destiny because there is no intimacy with God? What do I mean? The Bible talks about how he gave them what they desired, including leanness of soul. They got what the Bible described as leanness of soul, but it was what they desired that they got. Meaning, it was what they desired. They appropriated the power of God to get it, and the power of God gave them, but it was not part of the will of God. And because it wasn't part of the will of God, they got it, but it gave them affliction. Because the only way this thing is going to work better is that beyond your desires, you have come and formed a bond with the heart of God. Child of God, there is a call for you to pursue intimacy beyond your proximity. Intimacy means a time with the Lord that is over and beyond your expectations of him. If the only time you show up and the only reason you show up in church, and you know, I see certain believers and I can just tell, you know, and my heart grieves because I'm not allowed in some cases to tell them, but you can see that their relationship with the Lord on the outside, they are there, they are serving, they are giving, they are present, but you can tell that their relationship with God is shallow. You can tell that the day the problem shows up, the day the arrows are fired that hit, their walk with God will shake, their commitment to God will falter. You can just tell. See, it is intimacy that keeps you locked in, even when the circumstances do not match your expectation. It is intimacy that makes you stay committed beyond your experience. Child of God, we need to come to a place where it is no longer a pursuit of just his hands. It is now a pursuit of his face. There is something that intimacy brings into your space. There is a confidence that intimacy gives you. And it's a confidence that you know is beyond the natural. It's a confidence that is beyond the fact that you have been born again for a while. It is an intimacy that is a confidence that is born out of intimacy. How? Let me continue. So we understand then that union is legal, but fellowship is relational. Union is covenant. You have union with God. According to scripture, as it is, so are you. That's your covenant. But fellowship is communion. So union is your covenant, but fellowship is as a result of communion. Fellowship is you building depth in God. Romans 8:15 says, you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Adoption gave us the legal right to call him Father. That's union. But crying Abba implies emotional depth, trust, and familiarity. Now that's fellowship. I need you to look at that scripture again. Some of you missed it. I feel you missed it. Romans 8:15 says, you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Notice the two words, Abba, Father. In Hebrew back then, the term Abba is like daddy. It's like, yeah, it's more like daddy, right? And then you have father. So what we are seeing there is that the fact that you have been adopted by God gives you a right to call him father. He is your father. But the Bible also talks about being able to call him daddy. It implies, and when you talk about Abba or daddy, that's a different kind. That implies emotional depth. That implies a trust. That implies a familiarity that has not skidded into contempt. That implies fellowship. Jesus modeled this perfectly. Though he said, this is Jesus, though Jesus said, I and my Father are one. That's in John 10:30. Jesus still rose up early to pray. Mark 1:35. Oneness didn't cancel pursuit. Relationship. I'm about to say something big. Relationship demands rhythm. Relationship demands rhythm. When I say rhythm, it demands conversation. It demands consistency. It demands conscious attention. Psalm 25 verse 14 declares, the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. God shares secrets only with friends, not with visitors. Abraham was called a friend of God because intimacy invited him into divine counsel. Do you remember what the angel said to Abraham? They said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do? Genesis 18 verse 17. So I need to say this again. God shares secrets only with friends, not with visitors. Abraham was called a friend of God because of intimacy. He had intimacy, and that intimacy invited Abraham into divine counsel. Proximity lets you enjoy God's provision. And some of us are okay with that. Look, as long as God heals me, as long as God supplies this and does that, intimacy lets you enjoy God's provision. Proximity lets you enjoy God's provision, but it is intimacy that lets you partner with him more deliberately, more uniquely, more specifically in his plans. Proximity opens your access, so you have access, but it is intimacy that opens you to his heart. Many believers stay at the level of proximity. They know his acts, like Israel, but Moses pressed further to know his ways. Psalm 103 verse 7. The Bible says that Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses understood his ways. The ways of God are only revealed in the chamber of intimacy. Intimacy grows through awareness. It grows through conversation. It grows through obedience. Number one, awareness. Where you practice a God consciousness. Intimacy begins when you stop separating the sacred. Oh, Father, I need to say this slowly. Intimacy begins when you stop separating the sacred from the ordinary. What do I mean? Whether you are driving, whether you are working, whether you are walking, you understand that every moment becomes sacred. There is no God, this is my time, and God, this is your time. God, I am at work, let me focus here, and God is separate from that. when you get, when we talk about awareness and intimacy, this is a situation where there is no distinction anymore between the sacred and the ordinary. There's a guy, Brother Lawrence, right? It's called Brother Lawrence. Brother Lawrence was a friar in the church, Catholic church. Brother Lawrence, his job was to cook food. People used to travel to come and witness Brother Lawrence. Why? Because even though he was not yet a reverend father, even though he was not a bishop, he was none of those titles, everybody could tell that his relationship with God, even the archbishop or pope, did not have it. Brother Lawrence will be cooking food. That was his job, to cook en masse for the people to eat, for the rest of his brothers in the convent to eat. Brother Lawrence will cook soup for people to eat. People will drink the soup and will begin to have convictions to live godly lives. Sailors will come off the ship, will drink his soup and begin to cry and say, "Take us to your God." Now, this is because Brother Lawrence no longer had a distinction between the fact that, okay, what I'm doing now is I'm cooking soup. Soon I will go and spend time with God. No. Every action was, he was always conscious that every action was sacred. There was union, but there was also intimacy. So when you talk about intimacy, there is awareness. Number two, there is conversation, where you talk to God as naturally as you breathe. As naturally as you breathe. Prayer should not be an event, but a flow, a running, ongoing, constant dialogue with your dad. So there is awareness, there is conversation, there is also obedience. Obedience deepens intimacy faster than emotions. Let me say it again. Obedience deepens intimacy faster than emotion. There's some of you here that you're saying, and you're saying, "God, I want to be close to you. I want to fill your heart." And he's saying to you, "But I've asked you to let go of this, and you won't. I've asked you to walk away from that, but you won't. I've asked you to stay here, but you are leaving. You are trying to use emotions to, as an exchange for obedience. They're not the same." Jesus said in John 14:21, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me." Love language in the kingdom. Do you know God's love language? You know, we talk about the five love languages. God has a love language. Let me whisper it to you. God's love language is obedience. You want to show God that you love him. Even if you don't show him, he loves you. He loves you. And there are certain duties that he will still perform concerning you if you understand your covenant with him. Even if you don't show him love, even if you don't show him obedience, but there are certain accesses that you will not get. Not because he's holding it from you, but because it is intimacy that actually doesn't, intimacy doesn't open God to you. Oh no. Your union gives you a right for God to be open to you. Intimacy opens you to God. Intimacy, because the more intimacy means you are exposing yourself, holding nothing back, exposing yourself to God, it opens you. You become more practically like him. So you are able to connect with the depth of his thoughts that others cannot connect, to know things that the average passerby will not know, even though all of you are born again and children of God. The love language of God is obedience. The more you obey, the more you realize that he has revealed. When intimacy matures, it produces some unmistakable evidence. Your discernment escalates to a new level when intimacy has emerged in your space. You begin to sense what heaven is saying even before it is spoken aloud. Intimacy increases your consciousness of audacity and authority. Intimacy gives you a sense of peace. Hear this. Proximity is not enough. Intimacy gives you a sense of peace, even if there is a storm around you. How do you know that you have entered or you are entering into intimacy with God? One of the ways is that when you don't have what you think you should have, meaning when you feel like God has betrayed you, God did not answer you, God did not come through to you, it doesn't change your fellowship with Him. You still spend time with Him. Or you know that there is intimacy when you get what He has blessed you with. You get the miracle, you get the job, you get the whatever it is, and it doesn't pull you away from your sacred time with Him. One of the ways you know that intimacy is growing between you and God is that you begin to make statements like, I can't do this. It will grieve God. I can't continue with this. It will grieve God. Not I can't continue with this. It might stop God from giving me this miracle. It might stop God. It might stop me from getting this blessing. Intimacy makes you change the reason for living a holy life. Those who are still babes in the faith, and I don't mean babes in the faith because of their age, physical age, or even age in how long they've been saved. I'm talking about age when babes, or age as it relates to their depth in God. The reason why babes in the faith live a godly life, many of them, or try to live a godly life, many of them, is because they don't want to open the door for the devil to attack them. So they live a godly life. They don't want sin to create an opportunity for the devil to stop their miracle from coming in. They don't want to give access to the devil. And so they choose a godly life for these reasons. When you become intimate with God, your reason changes. You choose a godly life because I'm sacred. This is God's temple. I can't violate it. You choose a godly life because you're saying, how do I do this and betray God's trust? Do you understand the difference? The difference is not a commitment to a document. It's a commitment to a relationship. It is the difference between a man saying, I won't cheat on my wife because I respect the marriage covenant, to the man saying, I won't cheat on my wife because I love her. I won't cheat on my wife because I don't want to hurt her. There is a difference. One keeps you rooted even when the documentation is no longer demanded. I've said a lot there. I close with this. The danger of proximity without intimacy is spiritual complacency. You can serve in God's house and not know His heart. You can know scripture and not know His voice. Revelation without relationship breeds religion. And when it's religion, when you come under testing, you will fall by the wayside. In Revelation 2, Jesus told the church at Ephesus, you have left your first love. They had works, they had structure, they had doctrine, yet they had no intimacy. They were near in duty, but they were far in desire. When the Holy Spirit said this to me, my heart hit. He said they were near in duty, but they were far in desire. I had to pause to check my own heart. To rebuild intimacy, you must return to intentional pursuit. Did you catch that? you must return to intentional pursuit. Create altars, not just physical spaces, but recurring moments where your soul leans into God. Sit silently before Him. Read the Word, not for sermon preparation or not to take a thought that I read God's Word, but for heart transformation. Let worship become your language again. The Holy Spirit is not distant. He is whispering. But whispers are only heard by those who lean close to Him. Say this after me. Repeat this after me as I close. I am one spirit with the Lord. Yet I will not settle for proximity without intimacy. I lean into His presence daily. Come on, say it again. Let's say it again. I lean into His presence daily. I hear His whisper clearly. I know His heart and I walk in His rhythm. I know His heart and I walk in His rhythm. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for our oneness. And I thank you that because of our covenant with you, provision is available, protection is available, and you keep your word. But we know that there is more. We seek intimacy with you. We seek close quarters relationship with you. We go beyond proximity and we become intentional in our pursuit, that we may apprehend that for which we have been apprehended, that we might know you and the power of your resurrection. Thank you, Father. I pray over every life right now. I pray for a heart that truly desires you and not just what you can give. That intimacy will replace duty. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.